So, after the short break, we will now continue with our track. After the presentation about the possibilities with proprietary software and the second presentation about the possibility to free your software on your mobile phone, we have a presentation about the possibility to make your own mobile phone. And this presentation will be held from two persons. This first one is Mr. Nicolas Schaller. He has a PhD in computer and communication engineering and worked many years in the academic and industry as developer, product manager, and lecturer. Since 5 years, he has his own company, and he is a member of the IEEE, VDE, and GI. And the second also is Mr. Lukas Merdian. He's a student in computer science at the Technical University at Munich, and he is involved in several free software projects, Linux distribution for mobile handhelds and free smartphones, and a project for middleware for mobile phones, and furthermore also in the project OpenPhoenix. And the presentation has the title OpenMoCo is Dead, Long Live OpenPhoenix, and this presentation is about the possibilities to make your own mobile phone.
Yeah, thank you very much for coming and showing the interest in OpenMoCo. So let's see if OpenMoCo is not really dead and how it continues. Before we go into the presentation, I'm a little interested in market research. So the first question to you is, who already knows OpenMoCo? Almost everybody, that's good. Who owns an OpenMoCo device? Oh, okay. And who owns the new one, the GTA 04? One. So that is what our talk is about. We want to change that, the answer to the last question. So Lukas and myself, we will share the presentation. I will do the first three parts, a little about the history, then what happened to OpenMoCo, why are we saying OpenMoCo is dead, and rising from the ashes, that's an allusion to OpenPhoenix, the phoenix, the bird coming from the ashes. So how, why, and how we did continue with this project. The part four and five given by Lukas is about ideas for the future, and of course software. No device works without software, and that is the connection to the both presentations before. So by the history, it was in 2007 that FIC, a Taiwanese-Chinese company, started that project to make an open phone. A really open device where you are the owner, there is no hidden secret in, there is documentation, there are mechanical drawings, and they sold about 3,000 units to early adopters, to developers all over the world. This was seen as the first generation to be sort of an experimental device. So they discontinued the production of that unit and started the GTA 02, which became very well known as the Neo Freerunner. This was thought as the second generation going into continuous development. To my knowledge, about 15,000 units went to the Linux community, and unfortunately, most of them collect dust now. They did several hardware revisions up to revision 7, but then in end of 2008, the economical crisis started, and therefore they had to discontinue the production. There was already the development of a new hardware had been started, but that product was never finished, and the company OpenMoCo decided, well, we cannot continue producing open hardware. So FIC and OpenMoCo got out, but there was a strong community. Yeah, and the community continued development. The main work was in developing more software for the existing device, 15,000 units. That's quite a big number of hardware devices, and there have been very creative developers. Yeah, the company Golden Delicious took some lead in continuing and supporting all these existing users, shipping spare parts, for example, add-ons, and even doing some hardware modifications. There was, for example, a small bug in the hardware which prevented the device from going into a deep sleep mode, saving power. Yeah, but 15,000 units out there, time is going on. Apple has made three or four generations of the iPhone in that time. Android came out, new modern processors. If you look when this came out, the OpenMoCo, that was 2007. It did use a microprocessor, some Samsung ARM processor from 2006, 2005. So a quite old design, we would say, from today's perspective. So what is the future? OpenMoCo did go out, and there is no new hardware. Yeah, what can we do in such a situation? Generally, we have three options. The first one is, well, we take some big brand device, open the kernel, do reverse engineering, make a new kernel on that. This has been done since about 2000 and even before. It started with the Compaq iPack devices to make a Linux for a big brand device. But this always has one very big problem. It takes time. Reverse engineering a device needs a lot of developers working on that device, owning that device, working on it, and finding out which bit does control which part. And without documentation from the manufacturer, that's very time-consuming. And at the moment, the first Linux is running and doing something reasonable. The group says, well, hooray, we have done it. But nobody else can buy that device anymore. So for whom are we doing that? For someone who already has that device and had been waiting 2 years? So that is not the right approach to get a really open device. The second approach is, well, let's contact some manufacturer. There are many in Asia doing very good hardware. Ask them if we can buy a device from them, get some documentation, and make an open device, which is essentially the same as some closed device, but we have more control. Unfortunately, this model doesn't work as well as we all hope. You can experience things like you talk to the manufacturer, he says, well, no problem, you get this, here are the samples, you start to work on your Linux system, and then you order some 100 units, you get them, and they are different. They have changed, they have modified, they have improved their production process, but they didn't tell you. So essentially, this does not work very well. And another point is they are not really interested in supporting openness, because we are interested in openness. We have had, let's say, 15,000 units, but for 15,000 units, such a manufacturer doesn't want to invest too much to modify the hardware. So there is generally a third approach, do it yourself. And we thought about that. Is that possible? What does it mean? Yeah, and we started with some open hardware system. The BeagleBoard, that came out in 2009, very well supported by Texas Instruments. But the BeagleBoard itself is not a Texas Instruments product. It's a group founded by some Texas Instruments engineers, but they are doing that privately. It has had open schematics, so that saves a lot of time. The layout was available. It has expansion connectors, lots of documentation. The kernel was already being worked on. And very important for do-it-yourself, you can really buy the components. There are many very good chipsets out there, but it's difficult to get the component. If you have to sign an order for 10,000 units per year, well, that's difficult to do some, to produce some samples. Yeah, in 2010, we started to think about that, to do some preliminary study. How could it look like? Yeah, it could fit. We did make a first printed circuit board just to see if it fits into the existing case of a GTA-02 device. We combined the display module of the FreeRunner with the BeagleBoard to see if the display interface works. How difficult is it to add a display driver to the kernel? And that worked. So we did have this OpenMoco Beagle hybrid thing. And now the next step was very full of work. That was to squeeze the BeagleBoard and the display onto a single printed circuit board. So we did a PCB layout and finally got the first printed circuit boards. And of course, this needs a professional company doing that, because that is not something you can do, really do it yourself. You can design the schematics, you can design the layout, but making such PCBs is beyond the capabilities of any do-it-yourself approach. Yeah, then the first components had been put on it, so we could start to test that in February 2011, that's a little more than 1 year ago. Yeah, so it seemed to work, and we decided, yes, we do it. Yeah, unfortunately, there are issues. It's like software. If you run it the first time, you have some bugs. Here, we have picked out three examples. For example, the switching regulators are complicated. Yeah, the solution is to make a proper PCB layout. Yeah, then you should not swap some lines in the board for interfacing the chips. If you do that, it does not work, and the result again is make a new board layout. And some components may become discontinued while you are developing, so you have to, again, you have to find replacements. Yeah, this was before the redesign, and after the redesign, it did look like this. So we had a new board with components, even more components on it, and it basically worked. There had been some slight issues. Wi-Fi and Bluetooth did not work reliable. There we had to rework the power supply. Yeah, again, some signals had been swapped, the headset signals, but here we could use some wires to fix that. Unfortunately, we also had copied some bug from the FreeRunner, which is in the GPS system. The GPS system is, or the GPS antenna is too close to the MMC interface, so if you use the MMC or the SD card interface, it makes interference to the GPS and you have a bad reception quality. So unfortunately, we have copied that. The solution was the same, to switch off the MMC clock when it is not needed. Yeah, there was another issue in which needed changing the chip, and the worst bug in that version was that the UMTS module could not be switched off. So it was the result was that the power demand could not be reduced to a really low level. So this was the last engineering version, and now we have again made another redesign. What we now have is that PCB. It works, has fixed all these issues. It fits into the case of the existing Neo 1973 or the FreeRunner, and it's in production in small quantities. Documentation is available. The schematics are available. There is, of course, the kernel, or in fact, there are now two kernels working and running on that. Showing you the feature set, we have RS232, that's for the serial console interface. We have an optional camera, we have GPS, we have up to 32 gigabyte SD cards, we have a USB interface, real OTG compatible. There is stereo inside, stereo speakers. There's a gyroscope and compass for navigation. And this big box on the bottom, that's a complete UMTS module with high-speed UMTS. Then it is possible to connect an ambient light sensor, to connect the display, of course, headset in-out. There's even an FM receiver and transmitter. So the use case of that function is that you have your device in your car and it can transmit to your car radio. Yeah, the core of that is the same as on the BeagleBoard. It's a Texas Instruments OMAP3 processor with DSP and 3D graphics, 512 megabyte RAM and NAND flash. Then we have a barometer, accelerometer, also for navigation. And, of course, wireless LAN, Bluetooth. Infrared is an option. So quite a complete feature set. Well, it's not yet a dual-core processor, but let's see what the future can bring. So that was my part about the history, the hardware, and now I want to hand over to Lukas. He will talk about more ideas, what can be done with that basic hardware.
That we have test. Okay, so now that we have a state-of-the-art replacement mainboard, what's next? A common problem we saw was that a lot of people didn't want to disassemble their old FreeRunner phones, but wanted to have a second device, a new device, fully assembled. Another group didn't like the shape of the original OpenMoCo phones. So the idea came up to do cases ourselves. What's the progress so far? People from the community started to mill their own cases out of wood. Another approach was to take the original CAD files from OpenMoCo and try to print them on a 3D printer so everyone can do his own case at home. So here you can see the wooden case, version 1. This is a very unique case, and it's done by the community member Radek Polak. The next version is a little improved. It has a flat surface and some holes to get access to the USB port, etc. Another approach by myself was to take the original OpenMoko CAD files and modify them in a way that they could be printed on a 3D printer. The problem with the original CAD files was that the detail was too high and this couldn't be printed on a 3D printer. So I took the files and modified them to have lower details, and I tried to send them to Shapeways, which is a 3D print service. And I was astonished by the result. It fits perfectly to the original case, and well, by now we can assemble a full, we can order a full case at Shapeways, as you can see on the pictures. There are even several color and material options available. As the GTA 04 was designed as an open platform from the ground up, it is very easy to extend your phone. This makes the GTA 4 a nice platform to build your own gadgets. For example, you could try to build a portable measurement device where you can use all the different sensors available on the board. For example, the gyroscope, accelerometer, compass, GPS. So we could use it to build some navigation system or something. Another idea would be to put a bigger display into it, put a bigger battery into it, and use it as an open source software and hardware tablet. Or you could even try to build an ultra-low power notebook. As you see, it's only limited by your imagination. After announcing the replacement motherboard for the Freerunner, there was a high demand from the community to have a hardware keyboard available. So the guys at Golden Delicious started to experiment and try to satisfy this demand. As you can see on the picture, the very first prototype of a hardware keyboard was recently published and can be seen at our booth later on. Another possibility you have with the GTA 04 platform is the GTA 04 module approach. You can get a GTA 04 without a display, but instead have board-to-board connectors where you can put it onto a motherboard where you can put your own electronics onto. There's even one prototype product which is sort of a portable cash desk, including an RFID reader where you can scan RFID items and probably list them on the bigger screen. You can see the GTA 04 board is mounted onto a little bigger motherboard. It contains a bigger battery and a bigger display. It doesn't have the 3G modem, but instead it comes with a RFID reader. So now if you want to use your OpenFinux as a phone, you need some software. There are several options available. One of them is a Debian and LXDE system, which comes pre-installed in the NAND flash if you order the device now. It's just a plain Debian with all the packages from the repository available. You can just use it as a mini computer with internet access. Then there's QtMoko, which is also Debian-based, but comes with a Qt-based user interface specifically designed for phones. Another distribution is SHR, which is based on Open Embedded and the Yocto project. It provides a X server, so you can run all applications you like. Yes, and it's also designed for smartphone and touch usage. The fourth option is the Replicant, which is a fully free Android, which was also talked about in the presentation before. So what's Qt Moco? Qt Moco is continuing the Qtopia or Qt Extended efforts, which were started by Trolltech and Nokia as a testing platform for their Qt stack. It's fully written in Qt and is running on the frame buffer. So you should, if you want to program for it, you should use Qt as the main toolkit. It provides stable phone usage, so you can really use it as your main daily phone, which some people from the community are also doing since several months. It provides a clean and simple UI with the dialer, contacts, some games, a web browser, even a sort of app store, just what you would expect. Most hardware features are working like GSM, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, GPRS, UMTS, GPS, USB, the headphones. But there's also work in some other areas like the accelerometer and auto-rotation of the screen, etc. The project is always open to patches, ideas, and new applications. So if you want to contribute, you should visit their project home at qtmoco.org or communicate at the OpenMoco community list. And if you just want to look into the source code, it's hosted at GitHub. On the right side, you see a screenshot of the main menu of Qt Moco. The next project is SHR. The idea behind this is that you have the freedom of choice. On one side, from the toolkit, you can use Enlightenment Foundation libraries, you can use Qt, you can use GDK, as it's running just the X server. And, well, the choice is yours. You can even use the programming language you want. You can program in C, C++, Python, Java, Vala, whatever you like. It's just a full Linux system. But the focus is on the Enlightenment Foundation libraries, which all the default apps are written in. It's almost usable as a daily phone as well, but there's some last blocker, which is the audio forwarding from the modem to the speaker, which isn't implemented fully yet. But most hardware features are working already, so you can have phone calls, without audio at this point, but you can ring, etc. You can write SMS, you can use the internet, you can use Wi-Fi, GPS, USB, etc. It's based up on the freesmartphone.org project, which is a middleware app which provides a generic abstraction layer for all phone functionality you need for your apps, like some programming API to access the camera, the accelerometer, the modem, and so on. And as I said, it's based on the Yocto build system. It's running on a bunch of devices like the OpenMoco FreeRunner, the Google Nexus S, Nokia N900, of course the GTA 04, and there are some other devices which aren't listed here because they aren't officially supported as manpower is limited and the user base for some of those platforms is pretty small. But if you have some interesting device, you can just check if maybe you can run SHR on it as well. SHR is a fully community-driven project, so it's very easy to get access to the code, you can just join our IRC channel or send patches to the mailing list, and you can, it's very easy to contribute. You can just come to our project and see some information, installing instructions for the different devices. We have two mailing lists, and the most active point where usually all the developers are is the OpenMoCoC Devil IRC channel at Freenode. The last big option for software option for your GTA 04 is the Replicant project we heard of already. It's an Android version with all proprietary parts removed, and it even comes with the F-Droid Market, which provides you with a bunch of free and open source software. It's currently based on top of the Android Gingerbread version, but porting started at the end of March. But at this point, you can boot to the lock screen, but you cannot use it as a phone at this point because, for example, the radio interface layer isn't ready yet. But as of last week, you can use it as a music player already. Its project home is at replicant.us. Okay, that's it. If you have questions or want to see the different devices, the printed cases, the hardware keyboard, you can visit us at our booth 181C in Hall 7.2A. We have the booth, well, from 12 o'clock. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the very good presentation. The time is finished, but we have now the lunch break, so we can steal the time for questions from the lunch break. And if anyone has a question, I came with a micro. No questions? Or there, in the back.
Are there plans to develop an LTE module for this phone?
Yes. what we use is that the way of developing that is to use some readily available modules from big companies, because developing our own module, that's really impossible. What we know is that about 2 or 3 months ago, all major manufacturers of such modules, being it Synterion, Sierra Wireless, and so on, and Option, and how they all are called, they have announced LTE modules to be available, let's say, by end of this year. The key issue we have to solve is that it must be very small. Most such modules that are announced are for industrial markets, and their space is not a real constraint. But we have the idea. The question is, when will it come? It will come as soon as we are able to develop a new variant of that.
Another question?
I have a question about how well is it going to sell these phones or these boards, and is it sustainable? So is the company surviving? Because I saw on the website that it's not sold so well because it's too expensive for most of the people, and it's not complete at the moment. And are there any is there any progress to bring more devices to the people or reduce the price?
Yeah, well, it's like Rome that was not built in one day. You have to to make that in step by step. So the first big step for us was really to develop such a board as a motherboard replacement. The next step is to finalize all these missing parts you have mentioned. At the moment, we do not have enough really complete units. We have a motherboard, and you, being interested in the GTA 04, you already have to have some free runner device to disassemble and put in the new motherboard. So the next step is to make complete devices. Lucas has shown this 3D printing approach. As soon as that is completed, we can develop new products. Regarding price, the opinions are different. Some say it is too expensive. Yes, it is more expensive than a device with the same feature set you get from China. You get from a brand name, but it's closed. So having half the price, but no documentation, you can discuss what the value of open documentation really is. And that's a very individual decision. For some of you, it's the value. For others say, well, I don't have the money. That's okay. We cannot serve everybody. That's impossible. And we try to reduce the price, and price is driven by number of units we produce. If we make bigger batches, then we can reduce the price, of course.
Sorry for making you run again. sorry, I missed the start of your talk because I was standing at the booth upstairs and talking. So maybe I missed something. What kind of GPU are you using on your mainboard for the phone?
The mainboard is using the TIO map, and that is an SGX graphics. Unfortunately,
that sounds like PowerVR Imagination Technologies.
Sorry?
PowerVR Imagination Technologies?
Yes.
Ah, and you talk about open and free and full documentation?
We document what we can. It's very simple. We cannot change the world. We simply do not have everything. We try the best to get the most open documentation, which is, for example, the schematics. But it's if you can give me a Wi-Fi chip that fulfills all the requirements and is open, then we are happy to integrate it. Or a graphic processor, but it must have must fulfill a lot of other constraints.
Yeah, maybe I would suggest you to talk to Luc Verhagen. He's also here on the Linux talk, and maybe you can talk with him about ARM Mali GPUs, because they are working on a free driver for it.
Yes, I know that. we will do that and look at it.
Another question?
Yep.
You started this road tour, I think last year, and pushed the deadline sometime. What's the state of this road tour?
The
Golden Delicious road tour for these I don't know. 400 or 300.
Ah, the group tour. The group tour status. Yes.
Sorry.
Group tour. Yes, we had asked for pre-orders, and that was announced, big status announced in November and on FOSDEM. And the production is currently running. One issue is, well, production is production, and may have problems, and the company doing that production, they are working on solving some of these problems. The yield of what they deliver is not 100%. So they have to find out what the reasons are, and this gives some delay. So the first, to make another statement, the first of the boards, of the new boards for the group two, have already been shipped. But it's less than 10% what has been shipped. The other 90% are being produced these days.
So, another question. I see no question, then thank you for the presentation again.